So, okay, so there's a Grinch problem. We apologize for the Grinch for the problem on the last part, but let's continue. So, okay. So, I have observed during the last debate last Sunday that in the question and answer portion, the fast question and answer portion, there were some flip-flopping, and there were some who were using the names of the heroes. Okay, let's give an example. Okay, Karen Davila, the moderator, asked Vice President Jejomar Binay if he will cut, if he wins for the presidency, will he jail Rodrigo Duterte because of his alleged extrajudicial killings in Davao. But the vice president seems to flip-flop from his statements and did not declare categorical specifically that he will jail Rodrigo Duterte. So that's one. Okay, but the one that got my attention regarding the fast question and answer portion was the question on Rodrigo Duterte, who is his biggest financial contributor, and he told Karen Davila nasa bukid. And what is his name? Emilio? His apelido, his surname, Aguinaldo. I think Emilio Aguinaldo. So Emilio Aguinaldo, ladies and gentlemen, is now being used by the Duterte supporters because they think that using the common man had his smallest account of contribution was 5 pesos, and on that 5 pesos there is the face of Emilio Aguinaldo. So God had asked me one time, and he told me, "Josh, who is Emilio Aguinaldo?" I told him, for the record, Emilio Aguinaldo was the first Philippine president, the first president of the First Republic of the Philippines. Okay, so he's a revolutionary, and he was compared to Napoleon. Okay, to Napoleon Bonaparte. He was able to defeat the Spanish with the help of the Americans, but later on, waged war against the Americans until he was captured at Palanan, Isabela. So, in my point of view, he's a hero. Unfortunately, he was also very controversial, like Duterte, because of the alleged deaths of Andres Bonifacio and Antonio Luna. However, it was not proven that Emilio Aguinaldo is the mastermind behind the death of Luna and of Andres Bonifacio. It was the decision of the generals, the majority of the revolutionary leaders, to put Bonifacio to death, although Emilio Aguinaldo tried to stop the sentence against Bonifacio because they were friends, but he was being pressured by the generals, and given the situation that the Spanish forces under General Lacambre was able to take parts of Cavite during the 1897 campaign. It was during the time of the Philippine Revolution. Okay, so people are starting to compare themselves to General Miong, or that's the famous nickname of President Aguinaldo. He's General Miong. So they are now claiming, "I am Emilio Aguinaldo. Ako si Aguinaldo." And they, you know what Filipinos like to give different interpretations. Emilium stands for the people and Aguinaldo stands for gifts. Aguinaldo in Spanish is a gift, okay? So, they thought people are giving gifts to Duterte. It was the people who is financing Duterte. However, there were striking similarities between Aguinaldo and Duterte. They were controversial. They were both mayors before fighting for the national position. Okay, they were also had a. They were also popular in their own way. Aguinaldo is became popular through the strength of victories against the Spaniards and Duterte is known to be his toughness, and both of them advocate federalism. Okay, so Aguinaldo was first offered to the Mindanao Sultans, to the Sultans of Sulu and Lanao, to have a federal republic in which the national government will respect the independence and the culture of the Muslims in Mindanao. Okay, so that's also the idea of Duterte. That's one of the similarities that I saw. So some a little bit of Philippine history for you from the podcast. Okay, hashtag Emilio Aguinaldo. But let's go back. So Duterte was able to perform well during the debates, also with Rojas and with Grace Po. Grace Po was able to answer the questions very clearly, and also Mar Rojas, he's very fluently giving specific answers to the questions being given to him. Although there were allegations that were being thrown against ABS-CBN, the news network that covered that moderated the presidential debate last Sunday, allegedly had sided on Tomar Rojas, giving him the easy questions and giving the questions beforehand so that Mar Rojas may able to prepare the questions. And also, the moderators were being rude, being cutting the other candidates. So there, it's very obvious. So supporters from Duterte, from Binay, from Po were accusing ABS-CBN of being biased towards Mar Rojas. So that goes our presidential debate. So, oh, by the way, I forget the elephant on the room, Miriam Defensor Santiago. So Miriam Defensor Santiago, you know what? I would like to give credit to the Iron Lady of Asia. Why? Even though she is still recovering from cancer, her fighting spirit is still there. He was able to clash with the candidates, but also at times he seems to be very tired, breathing very heavily while speaking to the people. So she's still recovering from the therapy that she received. But you know what, Madam Miriam is, her ideas is very also is very bright and very practical as well. But between Rodrigo Duterte and Miriam Defensor Santiago, there is a chivalry. So Duterte was able to say, "How are you, Madam Senator?" So he told she told Duterte, "I'm fine, thank you," and went on to answering the question. So actually, they did not engage on a question and answer fight with each other. So, okay, so I should admire there is still a sportsmanship between Senator Miriam Defensor Santiago and Rodrigo Duterte. I would like to give that Okay, so let's continue with our recording regarding the latest news here in the Philippines. Okay, so a few days ago, last Saturday or Sunday, I think, Abu Sayyaf was beheaded their Canadian their Canadian hostage, and the head was being left behind on the streets of the town of Jolo, the province of Sulu in Mindanao. So the Prime Minister Justin Trudeau reacted negatively on what happened and pay their deepest condolences to the families of the victims. So for me, it's another slap in the face on the Philippine government, especially on the Aquino administration. You know, President Aquino is becoming a lame duck as the elections draws near. He cannot decide for himself, and he was also focusing on campaigning. On campaigning his administration, Beth Marojas. So, well, I have nothing but disgust. I have nothing but anger on what this administration is doing. So, they were not able to at least make a plan to rescue the hostages in Sulu. Bad trip. So it makes me feel angry and ashamed of this administration. They don't care less about the people, both locally and foreign. So there is a big disregard of human life. So, if I were you, President Benigno Aquino, make sure that you prepare yourself once you get out of the office. We will file a case against you for human rights violations, especially both locally and foreign. Okay? So, your consistent disregard of human life, whether farmers, whether foreign tourists, it makes me want to curse you, to kiss you. Putang ina. Sorry for my for saying bad words, but it makes me feel angry that our government supposed to protect the people, but here they are campaigning their own bets and even using presidential helicopters being used by the actress and the presidential sister, Chris Aquino, and some bullshit reply. She replied that she was one of the biggest taxpayers for the 9th year. So what the hell? I don't care. You're insulting our intelligence, Miss Aquino. Okay? You're insulting our intelligence as a Filipino. And that makes me angry. Okay? So how I wish that you should get out of Malacañang immediately. Because you have tarnished both the President Aquino and her sister Chris Aquino had tarnished the Aquino name. So that's why there were resurgence of a Bongbong Marcos vice presidency. So I cannot blame the people if people in the surveys for the vice presidential polls wanted to pick Ferdinand Marcos Jr. to become the next vice president. Why? Because even though there were abuses during the Marcos regime, there were projects that was able to be used until today, like specialized hospitals, like heart centers, like lung centers of the Philippines, like infrastructures like San Juanico Bridge, like South and North Express Lane, and the like. So I don't know. It's very frustrating to see this administration burn in the eyes of the people for being, for continuing disregarding the needs of the Filipino people. Okay, from Hacienda Luisita to Kidapawan to the death of 44 soldiers, or I mean special forces policemen, without any support from the other units of the armed services. So there, so people are being fed up, and that's why I see that Duterte is surging. People likes his cursing, his cussing. He's always telling putang ina. He's always saying bad words. Well, I would like to see it as he was cursing, he was saying bad words, he was cussing on behalf of the people who is fedding up with the present administration and its continuous failings. So that's why people are wanted to vote for Duterte. And at the same time, people had thought that Duterte had can be compared to Donald Trump, but as I research furthermore about the background of Duterte, he's very different from Donald Trump. Why? He had a foul mouth like Donald Trump, but he is a socialist like Bernie Sanders. Okay, so he had a great track record in Davao, especially on dealing with women. So he had the first local women code in the Philippines was in Davao under his term. Also, he was very strict in cleanliness. Why did I tell that he was very strict in cleanliness? Because they were able to have a high penalty on littering, on spilling, and even on simple traffic violations in Davao. He was able to trim down criminality, as being testified by my friends from Davao. And also, he's an advocate of the federal form of government, just like in the United States. So he has a track record to back on, to hold on. And he was also known to be close to the left, to the New People's Army, to the Moro Islamic Liberation Front, and to the Moro National Liberation Front. So he was being accused by other candidates and their supporters of being in the left, being a socialist, okay, supporting the rebels. So he was being seen like that. And what comes worse is his rape joke, okay? But actually, during the debates, he was able to explain his side on the trip, especially when he told the people that he told them that, sayang, ang ganda pa naman. Oh, it's a waste. She's so beautiful. Sana nauna na si Mayor. Maybe Mayor should do it first. So, it's very malicious. Okay, so, yes, we know that it's not a joke, but he explained that he told them out of frustration. What he means, that he was frustrated for not able to rescue the missionary alive. But the hostage takers, 16 of them, were killed by the police. Well, to give you the background, it was happened in 1989 when the missionary Jacqueline Hamelin was ministering or preaching in Davao City Jail when she was held hostage. So there were standoffs for a couple of days, but it was reported that before she was being cut in the neck, being slapped in the neck, she was gang raped many times. Okay, and they thought that Rodrigo Duterte wanted to rape the girl, but Rodrigo Duterte apologized. He told the reporters that he apologized for what he did say, but it's only out of his frustration that he was not able to rescue the girl. So that even though he was known in Davao and in the Philippines to be tough, but on one occasion he was not able to save a life. So it's very well explained. And you know what, I researched about Davao even more. During 2014, it was being awarded as one of the safest cities in the world. Okay, so Davao was seen as one of the cleanliest and safest cities in the world. So so that is his background, his ammunition when it comes to experience. He knows how to lead. But many are doubting him because his experience were limited through the local through a local chief executive. His experience was being a local chief executive, being a lawyer, a practicing lawyer, a prosecutor, a congressman in Davao's district. His critics are telling him that his experience is very local and it cannot cope to the national level. But worse comes to worse for the critics, Duterte was still continuing to lead the pack as the elections comes in. Okay, so another thing that would like people to see about the soft side of Duterte was the House of Hope. Okay, I watched the video regarding the information on the House of Hope. Okay, it was formerly a mansion of the mayor, being inherited from the late governor of Davao, Governor Duterte. Okay, after Governor Duterte's death, the big mansion was inherited by Digong or by Rodrigo Duterte. But
the time is 0200.
Oh, it's almost 2 o'clock. Excuse me. So So instead of using it as his one of his private homes, he converted it into a NGO, a non-government organization, a transient home for cancer patients who stayed in Davao City, confined in the Southern Mindanao General Hospital, and while awaiting for treatment, they can live there in that transient home. Okay, so even though they were not in they were not from Davao City, they were able to be entertained by the hospital, and through the city government, they were able to help the parents of the cancer-stricken children with financial aid. So from that video, when it was being presented candidly during the Christmas party with the song Salamat by Yeng Constantino, Salamat means thank you. So the children there who were all of them diagnosed with cancer are thanking Rodrigo Duterte through a song, and a tough guy like him, he tries to control his emotions. He tries to not to cry, but tears were flowing out of his eyes. He tried to hide from the camera, not showing that he is crying, but you see the heart of the person. He has a genuine care for the children. Okay, so although his problem was his big mouth and being tough, but his soft side is with the children. He loves the children very much, and he wants to try his best to help the children. The children that needs to be taken care of. And because of those children, he has ordinance that noise pollution, that drinking spree should end by 12 midnight, because he always thinks of the children. And also, I saw in him that when children approach him, in even his daughter, his youngest daughter, he always follows the children again. I mean, as a father myself, you will feel that fatherly love that he wants to show to those children. So even though I may not disagree with some of his policies, and you cannot deny the man that he has a genuine heart. Okay so as the elections draws near, I would like to encourage you to know your candidates better. Although maybe some other time I will discuss the other candidates before the day of the elections. But for now, let me say good night. Good morning here in the Philippines. It's almost 2 o'clock in the morning. And I had to go to work for tomorrow. By the way, continue listening and subscribing at the podcast. Once again, this is Joshua Matipo from the Republic of the Philippines. And mabuhay. Okay? So, good day everybody, and have a nice day.